This is Dave, the Scholarship Coach, with your daily scholarship for Sunday, March 24th. And today I'm very pleased to be joined again by Dr. Lauren Kerr-Hurley. Lauren is an award-winning history professor, and she also has developed programs to share the skills and mindsets necessary for student success. Lauren, thank you for coming back on the show. You are our first third-time guest, so we love having you here, obviously.
Hi, Dave. I'm so happy to be your third time's a charm. Here we go.
There we go. Well, the reason I asked you to come back on the show today was that I received an email from you talking about time management. And it was very timely for me because some of the students that I've been working with are really struggling with that. And I thought, this is a great opportunity to have somebody who understands what time management is and how to successfully manage time to come on the show and hopefully give us a little bit of advice that you know, my listeners and students can take to heart and learn from. So thank you so much for that.
Of course. Yeah. Well, you know, when parents or students ask me, what's the number one thing that students struggle with? I always say time management. And if you ask students the same thing, the same question, they'll say the same thing.
Yeah.
It's hard, especially, you know, a lot of my program focuses on executive function, which is the set of mental processes that help you get things done. So the demands of high school and college exceed the executive function that young adults have. Mm-hmm. Even adults, because I teach all ages in my college classroom, and I have adults who are coming, you know, back to school in their 50s mm-hmm. or 60s, and they're struggling with time management as well. So it's not age specific, but when it comes to brain development of young adults, they really are asked to do more than their brain is capable of. So there's that. And then there's also the very real, like, you know, other issues with time management, which I'll talk about in a minute. But that's the reason I developed the course, is because I wanted to help people unlock the underlying issues that help them, or that, you know, take them away from managing their time well. And in your work, you see this a lot, don't you, that students will do all the work to write their scholarship applications. They'll have the date that it's due on the calendar, and still it's the night before, and they're scrambling, or they forget the date altogether, and then they're mm-hmm. embarrassed to tell you, or embarrassed to tell their parents. So it's something I wanted to address, because it also can bring some shame to people that they can't manage their time better. And so that's why I developed the course.
Yeah, yep. It is definitely something I think that, like you said, we all struggle with, but definitely younger people. And it's really interesting that you say that their brains have not developed to the point where they're, you know, maybe physically and mentally ready to do all the things that are being asked of them. So
yeah, the demands are really high. And so that's why we have to break things down into, you know, something manageable and understand why we struggle with time management.
Well, that's a great segue. How can students break down everything that they have on their plate, from, you know, school, extracurriculars, maybe a job, and hopefully applying for scholarships?
Yes. Well, and applying to scholarships should be on their weekly list, really, if they're in high school or in college. I have students coming to me all the time who are freshmen and sophomore and asking, you know, where can they apply for scholarships? Mm-hmm. And just at my institution, we have a lot of scholarships that go unused because people don't apply for them. So it should be on the weekly list of things that you do. And when it comes to time management, I'll just say that I always start with, in the course, helping them figure out why they procrastinate, why they struggle with time management. And to do that, first we have to celebrate where they manage time well. You know, a lot of parents especially will tell me, my kid can't manage their time ever. And I say, well, ever? Like, ever? What about when they are going to meet their friends? Or what about when they are going to do something they really want to do? Can they manage their time well then? Probably.
Yep.
And so we start with where they're doing well. And I ask my clients and people who take the course to do the same thing, is to examine, you know, actually, like, when it comes to getting ready in the morning, my time management is great. it's in the evening where I struggle or something like that. So that they can start to recognize patterns. So we celebrate where things are going well. And then I ask course participants to examine the emotional reasons why they might struggle with time management. And I have a whole system for this, and there's a workbook that goes along with it. And once you kind of hone in on one or two reasons why time management is a struggle, then you can start to break things down. So I have a lot of strategies in the course for that, but one of my favorites is to look at alternative planning strategies. And, you know, I was joking with a mom the other day, one of my clients, who said my kid wrote his name on the front of his planner and the rest of it is blank. Like, it's just like, it might as well not exist. Uh-huh. And I said, well, that's because he hates it, because he thinks it's boring. It doesn't work for him. And so in the course, I go through and I suggest several alternative planning strategies that your brain might actually like. And if you give your brain a little bit of dopamine to say, you know, release that chemical in your brain that helps you get things done, then you're more likely to approach something that otherwise you would think is boring, but maybe it's just the format. So there's a lot of little things like that that actually make a big difference. But until you understand the emotional roots of it, you really can't change your habits.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's maybe go a little even more foundational and talk about what time management is, because I'll just use kind of an odd example. If you have three jobs that you have to go to every day and each job requires you be there 10 hours a day, that's not a time management issue. There is literally not enough time in the day. So what is time management just at a very basic level?
Okay, so it's funny you say that, because the whole first module of the course is about what time management is. And I look at different definitions, and I actually have students come up with their own. Because if you're using someone else's definition, then it's probably not going to work for you, right? Because we look at time as finite, and it is, right? There's 24 hours in a day, and we can't add time to the day. So time management is not only being able to accomplish all the tasks that you need to, but looking at your time and saying, is this actually even possible, like you're saying? Time blocking is a big part of that. So one thing that I encourage participants to do is just take a note of their time during the day. Mm-hmm. Where is it going? Like, is something that you thought was going to take 2 hours actually taking 15 minutes, or vice versa? Mm-hmm. And I have a video on my YouTube channel that is about how much time you should spend in a college course. Like, if in a traditional 16-week semester, there's a formula that we college professors use, but I think it's applicable to high school as well. But generally, students are shocked when I tell them how much time they have to actually spend on a course. Some of my students who are in college are working and they're helping take care of family members, and they've got all these responsibilities, and there's literally no time to invest in the course. And so that's when you have to make some difficult decisions and maybe have some difficult conversations with the people in your life to say, this is how much time I need in the week to be successful in the course. And maybe you are responsible for cooking dinner on a Monday night, and so maybe that's the only night you do it. You don't help out other nights. You pick a easy recipe, you know, something like that. Or it can be a matter of saying to, you know, with friends, this is a big deal, right? Because social lives are really important. Mm-hmm. And they should be, because social skills are part of executive function as well, and that developing brain. But, you know, I say you need to either have friends that you can study with, or you need to tell your friends, I need 2 hours in the afternoon, and then I'll call you back, or then we can hang out. Mm-hmm. But to have supportive people in your life, and some people won't be supportive, and maybe you need to change those relationships a little bit. And that's a hard thing to do. But one of the things that I talk about in the course is like the difference between short-term goals and long-term goals, and why it's so difficult to manage your time when all you think about is the long-term, right? Mm. If all you're thinking about is, well, I want to get a degree, you know, I'm going to become an engineer. Okay, well, that's wonderful. But how are you going to get there. And maybe the shortest term goal is just managing your time in one day in a way that will get you to the long-term goal. But it's very often that students will say, you know, I'm sure they say to you too, I want to go to XYZ colleges and those are my only choices, but then they're not actually spending any time on their scholarship applications or their academics or the things that will get them there. So that's a big part of it is, you know, how do you manage your time in the short term and make time your friend? It's one of the problems with saying management, right? Is it like I have to like wrestle you into submission time instead of saying like, how is time my friend? And where can I change some of my patterns? When can I stop? I call it procrasta scrolling on on social media. Like, is that really necessary? Does it add anything to my life? Versus saying I'm going to take a 15-minute phone break or, you know, whatever. So I get into all that, but so time is our friend if we let it be. We just have to work with it instead of against it.
Are you finding over the last few years or maybe even decade now that social media is one of the biggest time sucks for young people?
Oh yeah. And it's a time suck for me too. It's set up to do that, right? That's the whole point of it. Yeah. So it can be 30 minutes later and I'm still on Instagram looking at animal videos and I have no idea that where that time has gone. So that's another reason why, and really social media is not good for the brain in any long spurts for any brain, but for kids, when they, and I say kids, right? But I mean, young adults,
people younger than you and I,
yeah, people younger than us, it really is bad for their brain. And not only does it take away from their time, but it also does restrict their development and get into really scary things. I mean, I have a 10-year-old and I've already told her you're not getting social media until you're at least 16. And her friends think I'm crazy, but I'm like, I've been an educator for too long to see all the negative things that can come out of that. And so when it comes to social media, one of the things that I tell clients and tell students is that if you can't get a handle on that, then just go on a fast. You know, just take a week off and just see what happens to your brain and see what happens to your time. Just go cold turkey, right? Yeah. And there's an app called, I think it's Deep Breath or something like that, but it is set up so that it makes you take a deep breath before you log into social media. And then sometimes after you take the deep breath, you're like, okay, actually I don't need to do this. Like what I thought I needed was like a dopamine, you know, hit, but really I just needed to take a deep breath. So there are some little tricks to help you not get sucked into that time. And it's also kind of realizing I was saying this to some students actually this week, that you think you need to respond to people right away, right? Like if you get notifications, you're like, oh, that's got to be the thing that I do right now. But the world is not going to end if that person waits an hour for you to respond to their DM. Because we talk about how in the classroom or when you're doing your scholarship apps or whatever it is, that you cannot have your phone next to you. And actually another app that's good, it's called the Forest app, actually, well, it's a visual timer, which is really handy for time management, but it also like locks your phone. So you literally can't get into it for the 20 minutes or whatever that you set. And you can get a lot done in 20 minutes if you're not distracted by trying to respond to the last person.
Well, let's talk about what I'll call like structured breaks. So what I'm thinking of is I have some students that I worked with this past year who during vacations, so like if they had a week at Thanksgiving or 2 weeks at Christmas, about half of my students did a ton of scholarships during those breaks and the other half did absolutely nothing. And unfortunately, that correlation was not what you would want to see. The students who did a lot took a break during that time. It was the students who really weren't doing much anyways continued to not do much during those breaks. So how can especially students manage those breaks where it's you kind of are breaking that rhythm? And if you're the type of person who's not maybe doing the work on the day-to-day basis, how could a student take advantage of those structured breaks?
That's a great question. And if you sign up for my newsletter, I actually address this over the last winter break, because I was hearing from a lot of people saying, like, I don't know what to do with myself. Because when we're in school or we're teaching school, we have, you know, I joke that I'm like, the calendar doesn't start in January, it starts in August. Like,
right. Yeah.
You know, yep. When we're in that kind of rhythm, there's a hard starts and hard stops all the time. So you like ramp up and it's like full speed ahead for the beginning of the term. And then you have this break at, like, let's say Thanksgiving in America. Then it's like, oh, wait, I have a week off. Like, what do I do? Like, so you have to plan that in advance, because your brain is not capable of doing something really productive if you haven't told it it needs to be productive. Mm-hmm. So there's a balance between rest, because you do need rest. Your brain won't function enough if you don't. Like, for example, I have a pretty strict rule that I don't work on Saturdays. Now, uh-huh. That might mean that I'm really productive Sunday evening, but I wouldn't be really productive Sunday evening if I didn't take Saturday off.
Right.
So the trick is to plan those breaks and to say, you know, first of all, you have to have some momentum. So like you said, if students are not doing a little bit every week, they're not going to all of a sudden do 10 applications over mm-hmm. Thanksgiving break.
Yep.
So it's getting them to do a little bit. And I had an advisor, a mentor, who said, you need to be, when I was working on my dissertation, which was basically a 300 page book that I wrote during my PhD. He said, you need to work on this 15 minutes every day. And I was like, what is a 300 page book? I'm never going to get that done. And I have to do all this research. And he said, trust me, 15 minutes a day, take one day off. And the rest of it is 15 minutes a day, because those 15 minutes turn into longer.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they don't, your brain has at least worked on it for 15 minutes. And then it has a little bit of, you know, I keep coming back to dopamine, but it's a really important chemical.
Mm-hmm.
For how we get things done. So your brain has a little bit of success of, oh, we did 15 minutes yesterday, we can do 15 minutes again tomorrow, no big deal. And then if you need to cut it off at 15 minutes because there's other things going on or you're exhausted or whatever, that's fine. But you've committed to doing that 15 minutes every day. So with a scholarship application, if you ask yourself to set aside, let's say, 2 days that you work 15 minutes a day on the application, then you will be able to hit it harder on the break when you don't have as many distractions. But you also, you know, going back to those conversations, you need to tell your family, you need to tell your friends, you know, I am really excited to hang out on these days, or I know I said I was going to organize my room over the break and I'll do it on this day, but these 2 days are set aside for scholarship applications. And make the reward being with your friends, being with your family, doing the things that you've been looking forward to over break. Typically on the first day of a break, I do nothing. I don't get out of my pajamas. That's the rest day.
Yep.
And then I'll get into the things I had planned to be productive on.
That's great. That's a fantastic strategy. I've been playing with the idea of putting out an article about, specifically just time management for scholarships. I think the question I get almost asked most often is, how much time should my student be spending on scholarships? Mm-hmm. And it mm-hmm. is very dependent on where they're at in school. You know, a high school senior needs to be spending a lot more time than a high school freshman. So right. I think that's a great segue, and maybe I'll have a little article written up to coincide with your episode coming out.
I think you should.
Well, yeah. So we, you know, you've given us a lot of great ideas and hints about time management, but I know you can't tell us everything. We just don't have the time to do that. You do have a mini course called Conquering the Clock, Unlocking Time Management. Can you just tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So this is an at your own pace course. You can, you know, purchase it and start at any time. But the, you know, it's funny because some people who struggle with time management are like, well, how am I going to manage my time to do this course, right? But that's one of the first things I do in the course is give you some tips on how to, you know, keep going. Some of the things that I've said already, but I have some extra tips to help you keep going. So like I said, we start with the kind of like, where are you doing well? Let's celebrate. And then we move on to let's find the emotional root of what's going on. And then we spend a lot of time creating a system that works for people. So like I mentioned with the alternative planning strategies, if you hate a traditional planner, you're not going to do it. So let's spend some time and I give examples and then I help people. I give people building blocks on what to do to make this course or to make a system that works for them. Mm-hmm. And that is what's really important. You know, it's I remember someone asking like, what's the best way to stay to lose weight or to eat healthy? And they said, well, whatever you can do consistently is what works. Like, yeah. So some people, certain programs are going to work for and others won't. But there's the psychology of like, this works for me. I don't hate it. I'm seeing the benefits of eating more vegetables. Like I feel better, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's whatever system you can keep up with. So that's why we spend so much time on personalizing it. And then I have tips, but I also have, you know, like an actual framework for how they can set up their time management system and things that they can refer back to. And then also ways to be flexible because it is hard, like you said, with the hard starts and hard stops of breaks, but also what if you get ill or something happens and that throws things for a loop, which is another argument for doing things early and ahead, you know, but you know, we have to know that life happens, right? So so that's how the course is structured. It's really exciting because you can see a change in the way you up your relationship to time early on. And so that's what helps you kind of keep going throughout the course and making the system.
Very cool. Who is, in terms of age or year in school, who is the course developed for?
It's for all students. That being said, if a lot of young professionals benefit from this course as well, because it's not just about school. And when you get out of college and start your job, that's a whole new world. And no one has told you your classes are at 11 and 12:30 and 2. And then, you know, so it's something that I like to provide for young professionals as well. But any age of students, like I said, I have students in their 60s and anyone can benefit from it.
Fantastic. Well, your website is alteringcourse.com. And if people want to jump straight to the time management course, it is alteringcourse.com/time-management. I will put a link to that in the show notes of the episode. Lauren, thank you for coming back on the show. Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know before I let you go?
No, I would just suggest that you sign up for my newsletter because I have tips for you about executive function, a lot of which is time management. So I present one common problem that students struggle with, and then I present two possible solutions because we know that a one-size-all approach doesn't work, which is why I've designed the time management course how I have. But I'd love for you to jump on my newsletter and get that insight.
I will second that. I am on your newsletter distribution list and I read it faithfully. There's always something interesting from even for myself who's not a student, but definitely get on there. It's a great way to learn something useful and also keep tabs of all the exciting things that you're doing. So great.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Dave.
Absolutely. We're excited to have our first third time guest and look forward to having you on a fourth sometime in the future.